Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, along with Bill the Engineer. Swampy Bob walking around here as well today, working behind the scenes. So we have a crew. We're in the studio. We are live. Feel free to join the party, 888-88-SCUBA. A lot of stuff to cover today as I get ready for some more travel, believe it or not. Heading to Saba, St. Kitts here in just over a week. We also have the Surf Expo coming up next weekend, which I'll get into that in just a bit. But they debut some swimwear and have a lot of swimwear models at this event. And ironically, I find it as part of my duties as a thorough host here of Scuba Radio to cover an event like that.
It's nice of you to put yourself out like that, Greg.
Well, you know, it's the sacrifices I make as hosting this goofy little radio show about diving. It's just what we do. Also, what is the most important part of a diver out there, or most important piece
lungs.
Of gear? What's the most important thing?
Second stage.
Well, we're going to find out. The most important piece
Cod
of
piece.
Dive gear on the planet. We have somebody who's going to explain this to us today. And
the brain of the diver.
Maybe, maybe not. If it's any help, it's Bob Evans from Force Fins.
It's the fin.
And you would be incorrect, sir.
Oh!
But you'd probably know him, Bob Evans, if you say the brain, that may not be...
Bob Evans is an incredibly smart man, so smart
huge.
That it seems
massive.
Like he's insane every time you talk to him.
I like his restaurants.
Yeah, okay. He has good sausage. But,
that was a different direction than we thought.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Swampy Bob. What do you want? He only shows up every once in a while.
He didn't say the thing about the sausage. You did.
No, but it's not the same Bob Evans from Bob Evans Restaurants.
Are you sure?
Yeah, oh yeah. Actually, okay. I've never seen the two in the same place.
There we are.
Good point. But anyway, we got that, some rebreather stuff to talk about. Fiji, we're going to get a dive report from Fiji and Dominica.
Oh, is it the passport? Is that the most important piece of dive equipment? Is it the passport?
I'm going to say no, it's not. Still wrong.
Yeah, money.
Oh, sorry, Bob.
The wallet.
Wrong again.
You
guys, keep guessing. Feel free to guess anytime throughout the show, but we'll find out from Bob Evans what indeed is the most important piece of dive gear on the planet right here on today's show. So this could be... Quite an interesting show today because of this, because it's pretty
the bikini
intense.
Bottom.
Okay, well that's a matter of perspective.
The bikini top.
Well, really, do we really need those?
I would say no.
Okay,
I would say they're completely useless.
Well, Bill.
I kind of need it for support, but yeah. I mean, I wouldn't describe it. I can substitute with the BC.
Yeah,
pump
okay.
it up a little bit, still get some support.
It's too much information. Really, I just threw up a little in my mouth. All right, so but that's not all that's been happening. We had this little hurricane that blew through the Caribbean last week.
Irene.
While we're covering that, you know, we talked to Neil Watson in the Bahamas, got a report. They did fine over there.
Yeah, in spite of the fact that I had heard reports that the Bahamas had been leveled and every person in the Bahamas had been swept to sea. But apparently there was a little bit of overstatement.
Yeah.
Did you get that from your wife?
What, that there's been a little bit of overstatement? Yes.
Oh, boy. Well,
and having said that, I mean, at least we know that every living being in the Turks and Caicos were swept out to sea. That we know. I mean, the Bahamas is a lot bigger than the Turks and Caicos. We know that every person that was on or near the water, and everyone in the Turks and Caicos is either on or near the water, swept out to sea.
Well, they were
absolutely flooded, inundated, blown, storm surged, lightning striked, every one of them, unfortunately, dead.
I think it may be a slight overstatement, once again. But because we have Single Scott, who was actually on...
He knows a lot of people in the Turks and Caicos.
The Turks and Caicos Explorer Liveaboard Boat. And Scott, are you there? Oops, did I hit the wrong button? Sorry. Let's try that again. There we go. Scott, are you there?
Yeah.
There we go.
Oh, yes. He's talking to us from the other side!
He's from the other...
He's talking to
it's
us
a miracle,
from the
I tell you.
Don't head towards the light.
Oh, boy. So you were on the Turks and Caicos Explorer Liveaboard. Right?
Yes.
And
we took a direct hit.
So did that just send you on a nice ride over to Cuba or someplace, or what happened?
Well, we started the trip on Saturday, we dove on Sunday, and it was great. We'd made five dives, you know, with 100-foot visibility. It was beautiful.
Wow.
But then they knew the storm was coming, so we went back to port on Monday, and they kicked us off the boat because they knew it wouldn't be safe, and
right.
Sent us to a hotel, and we watched, we were there two nights and watched the hurricane come and go.
In Provo? Is that where?
In Provincialis.
Yeah.
Provincialis, yeah.
Yeah, so you hung out
in Utah.
You hung out in Provo, and you had a, so you just had a hurricane party. You stayed on land during the storm, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah. How bad was it? If they took a direct hit there, did you guys lose power and everything, or what, Scott?
Yeah. Oh, it was bad. I mean, the hotel we stayed at had a generator, so it had backup power. When the power went in and out, they had to put all the hurricane shutters up. They sandbagged the areas that they knew were going to take water. All the shops and stuff there. You know, you've been there where that Jimmy's dive bar is and all that. They
right.
boarded up all those windows and
oh my God, the bar was closed?
Everything. No, actually they kept the bar open. That's where I was actually. I had to walk home from the bar right in the middle of a category 3 hurricane.
Oh, nice.
That seems why did you have to walk home? Did they close it?
Well, when the power went out about 11 o'clock, they decided to call it quits.
Ah, okay.
Did they at least send you with a bottle?
Well, actually, the boat had a hospitality suite where they bought beer, alcohol, granola bars, cookies, anything, makings for peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, all kinds of stuff. So we had a hospitality suite, so we were covered.
Well, let me ask you this. How many people were on the boat that week with you? Just a handful?
13.
Or did you have 13? So
13.
Did everybody do this, or did you have some people that hopped in a plane and left and leave?
No, well, the airport was closed. You couldn't fly out even if you wanted to.
Ah, okay. All right. So everybody just kind of piled around and camped out for a couple days.
Yeah. How many days were you out of the water?
Three.
That's all, really? So you get 3 days.
Yeah, we went back out on Thursday. Now the ocean had really, you know, turned up, so the visibility was really bad the last 2 days. But
right.
Then, you know, of course I stayed there for 2 weeks, and every day we dove on the second week it got better and better and better.
Yeah. Okay, so that was the first week of your trip was the hurricane.
Yes.
I gotcha. Okay.
Well, and of course, the problem with that is that because you're so unfamiliar with the dive sites there in the Turks and Caicos.
No, that isn't why.
Yeah. Scott, how many times have you...
Actually, when we went back on the boat, the marina was out of power, but so we could have Wi-Fi, you know, Single Scott being an electrician, we ran a power cable from the boat that, of course, is on generator, and we fired up the router that feeds the boat so we could have internet.
Nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, yeah. You know, in the Turks and Caicos, it's one of the only places where I actually remember the names of the dive sites because it's like Double D, G Spot, What's the other one I'm forgetting?
Well, they tried to go to G-Spot, but they couldn't find it.
Yes. That's what they all say. But we still managed to find it. But it sounds like you still had a fun time regardless, knowing how they operate the boats. I bet everybody ended up turning it into a fun little bonding experience. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah. We had a really good time. You know, we went out for dinner, of course, Monday night before the storm hit. We had a good time. We went to the Irish pub, which I know you know about.
I do.
And they asked about you, and they had a little place in the corner for you to pass out in if you wanted to.
Oh, well, that's nice of them. Yes. I've been there a few times. They got their little shrine, their little area that's roped off. I'm not allowed back in there, actually.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExploreVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry. And at an affordable price, go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
Could she stay like that?
I don't know.
Oh, get in the picture.
Sandy's a girl?
Yeah, I'm going to be getting the picture with my new Olympus Pen camera at the Surf Expo this week.
Oh, those will be good pictures.
Yeah, they have a dive pavilion, but I don't really care. There's a bunch of girls in bikinis that I'll probably have to take pictures of just for, just to give you an idea of what it's like to be at this event. You'll hear all about it next week on the big show. However, in about a month, in October, towards the middle end of October, we're heading back to Grenada to do some more rebreather diving. And to talk about it is Mike Fowler from Silent Diving, who is on Scuba Radio right now. Mike, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great. I'm a certified rebreather now. Last time we spoke, we were just getting ready.
Yeah, in fact, yeah, which is real nice, because the last time we talked to him, he was a certified mouth breather, and that was it.
Yeah, it was this, it's not the same. It's a totally different animal. But I got to say, I love doing this. We're going to go back and do some more rebreather diving, get even more, solid with the units, with the Inspiration, the Evolution rebreather there with Silent Diving. And this is the next big thing, and I know we're ramping up to the DEMA show in November, and I know there is a massive push from the industry to really bring this, bring rebreather diving up to the masses, into the recreational market. What is your view from that perspective?
Absolutely. That's certainly our aim over the next few months as well. As you say, leading up to DEMA, we're coming out with a slightly simplified version of the rebreather that you actually trained on in Grenada to make it available to open water divers, advanced open water divers, to make it a little bit more simple, but as I said, and definitely get it out there for the masses.
Wow, so that's a new version of the unit that may be announced at DEMA? Is that what you're alluding to, or what?
Absolutely, yeah.
Nice. So is that going to address, well, you said it's going to be a simplified version as far as setup, but is it going to be something that takes into account travel restrictions and things like that that become somewhat of a factor with all the stuff you got to bring with a rebreather, or what?
Yeah, at this point, the product will be very similar to what you see. It'll look exactly the same as the rebreather that you trained on, with a few modifications to make sure it'll have an open circuit bailout mouthpiece to make the crossing over to open circuit very simple. You won't need the U-train with the oxygen manual inflator. You won't need that. We're doing some software changes to the electronics to make it a lot easier to manage the rebreather during set point switches. And basically, we're automating it even more than it's already automated for you.
Wow.
And also the setup, and ultimately the idea is that you won't have to pack your own scrubber, that's the role of the dive center that you go to. It will be their job to actually, when you take your cylinders in to fill them with air and oxygen, you'll drop your scrubber in and they'll pack that for you as well. So it's making it a lot more user-friendly and easier for the open water, advanced open water divers.
Interesting. So I think that's a good thing. I mean, let me ask you this, too, because the one thing when I went through the training in Grenada, they really kind of, I mean, it didn't throw me, but I was surprised how little being a certified dive instructor made a difference on how well I did on the rebreather. Of course, mask clearing and being comfortable in the water made a big difference, I'm sure. But as far as the buoyancy and the basics that you learn in as being an open circuit diver, it's a totally different animal on a rebreather. So do you think we're going to go to this situation where people are going to get certified straight into rebreathers as opposed to going open circuit and then doing a rebreather? Or how do you see that developing over time?
I think at this point we're still needing the basic open circuit skills, because one of the philosophies of the simplified rebreather is if there is a problem with the rebreather, something's not quite right, then the rebreather will basically tell you to go onto open circuit.
Right.
So you still need to have those basic open circuit skills, being able to clear a mouth, a regulator, so on and so forth. So there will be that element that you'll still need. But ultimately, yeah, you're totally correct that we find sometimes the more experienced divers out there struggle a little bit more than somebody maybe that's less experienced, because there are big differences between controlling the buoyancy on open circuit and on closed circuit, and it's not instinctive. So you're still trying to apply your instinctive methods of controlling your buoyancy, and we need to retrain you a little bit on that.
Yeah, yeah. There was definitely a learning curve, probably bigger than I expected. Tony seemed to pick it up pretty easily, but she's young and
she doesn't really breathe.
Well, good point.
She cannot.
It's teaching old dogs new tricks things.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things. That's why I need more practice. That's why I'm going to go back down to Grenada here in October and really get in on this thing and actually take my camera down finally. You know, we did just enough dives where we got somewhat familiar on the system and got a little comfortable, but not to the point where I was ready to throw in another task like, futzing around with my camera. I was probably right at the edge. And I really want to get down there and take advantage of that, getting closer to the animals and getting some footage that, all these hardcore photographers get into rebreathing for in the first place. What about you, Mike? I know you travel around and you do this a lot. Do you do photography, video, or are you only just doing this, training other people on the system? What's your thing?
Well, at the moment, mostly it's just training and just generally diving and teaching. But funnily enough, I have recently bought a camera, and that's something that I want to get involved in myself, but haven't quite got there yet.
Well, Mike, if I might make a suggestion, the sort of thing which is going to make you a better photographer is going to something like the Surf Expo this weekend and seeing all the girls in the bikinis. You'll get to be better at it fast.
I'll be there right away.
or you will fake it like I do. Oh, yeah, I'm a professional photographer. Yeah, let me take your... Yeah, I don't know. We'll work it out. But, yeah, I love the silent diving rebreather. It's amazing. Silentdiving.com. Go there. Get all the information about the inspiration, the evolution, how to get trained on this these units. And obviously, we'll have the big announcement. We'll cover it there at DEMA, I guess. That's where you're going to launch this new unit, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, cool. Well, Mike, thanks for the update. Good free dive or rebreather diving to you, my friend, okay?
Thanks very much, and you, and thanks for having me on.
You got it. There you go. That's Mike Fowler from Silent Diving Rebreathers.
And their slogan is not, no bubbles, no troubles. Telling me their slogan is not, no bubbles, no troubles? And because they're in the Caribbean, it could be, no bubbles, no troubles, mon.
Yeah, well, what do you mean they're in the Caribbean? They're not in the Caribbean. Aquanauts Grenada is in the Caribbean.
Oh, you go to the Caribbean to do your rebreathing,
right.
But they're not.
You can do it anywhere.
That sounded like an island accent to me. Like one of those big, more northern islands.
Well, maybe. Maybe slightly. And he could say mon. I don't know. We didn't talk to him about that. Silentdiving.com. Check it out. More coming up.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
You know, Bill, that's big news. I did not know, and maybe I should have, but I didn't know that they were planning a new version of the rebreather there to announce a demo.
Well, let me tell you a little something that you clearly don't know about then. DEMA, the Dive Equipment Manufacturers...
Dive Equipment and Marketing Association Trade Show, yeah.
Okay. This is what happens. That you've probably never been to one, so you don't know that almost every company comes out with new stuff for almost every demo.
Well, no, I know that.
I'm just saying.
I didn't know they were coming out with a new version of the rebreather that was going to be a simplified version or, you know, a new modified version of the Inspiration.
I'll bet you there'll be new camera housings.
It might be.
I'll bet you. New video.
But I'm telling you, that was big news right there that we kind of snuck out there. I think we got a little preview of things to come right here on the big show.
You're a crack journalist. You know, no one reads Business Wire press releases better than you.
I'm telling you, I think we let something slip a little bit earlier than maybe they were planning. But that's good. I mean, it's kind of a rumor phase, maybe, that maybe we kind of like solidified a rumor there. But that's good. I like the idea that's happening. We're going to do some more rebreather diving. You'll hear all about it in October when we're down there in Grenada. We're going to piggyback that on a mermaid contest as well as we crown a new mermaid, Scuba Radio Mermaid, in Grenada.
Because Grenada has their very own mermaid.
Yeah, Champagne is her name. It is. Very
nice.
Attractive young lady from Grenada. She's going to join us at the DEMA show and represent for Grenada as a Scuba Radio Mermaid this year.
You know, sometimes, Miss USA pageant winners have to forfeit their crown because of their actions. And it gets me thinking, what would a mermaid have to do for you to say, you're not going to be the mermaid of the year? It would have to be pretty bad, wouldn't it? Would it have to involve actually killing another person?
No. Well, I could find something else for them to do that would get them in plenty of hot water. All right, look, we got a Dan tip, and then what's the most important piece of dive gear on the planet? You're about to find out right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Dive knife, in case you're attacked by a mermaid.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, diver's consumer tip number 211. It is unwise to wave your dive knife about wildly while yelling at the top of your lungs, "How'd you like me to cut your belly open and show you all the black stuff you got in there?"
When I do, boy, God bless you.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And in the studio is Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. How are you feeling today, Nick?
Green, actually.
Queasy?
Eco-conscious.
A man of the world.
Well, if you mean a man who cares about it, then yeah, I guess so.
I think everyone cares, but sometimes it feels a bit overwhelming. I mean, does everything we're supposed to do really make a difference?
Sure it does. It may not be easy to see on an individual level, but collectively, sure does add up.
I hear divers talk a lot about being environmentally conscious because we're the ones in the best position to protect the oceans. But what can divers really do to be eco-friendly?
Quite a bit, really, and it only takes a very little bit of effort.
Like what?
Start with streamlining your gear. It's simple, but it makes a difference because it protects reefs from damage done by dragging equipment.
I know what you mean, but streamlining equipment isn't enough. I mean, divers need to make sure they're streamlined as well. I've seen plenty of damage done by folks dragging fins or flat out kneeling down to take photos or get a closer look.
And you're absolutely right. That segues right into buoyancy control, since controlling that not only protects the environment, it protects you too.
You mean from stuff like cuts, scrapes, fire coral?
Exactly.
Streamlining probably contributes to keeping you free from entanglement and other hazards too, doesn't it?
That is absolutely correct.
Well, what else can divers do?
You know, Greg, sometimes it comes down to what they don't do. For example, not touching things, like marine life. Anchor lines and coral can protect not only you from stings and bites, but it protects them from damage as well. This is an especially good approach to avoiding problems with those small little critters that may live in anchor lines and on reefs.
But what about things like lobstering and spear fishing?
If you're doing that kind of diving, make sure you're adhering to local game laws to ensure future generations are available for others.
There's got to be some stuff we can all do topside as well.
Oh, that's a whole topic unto itself. But one of the easiest ways to have a positive impact is to participate in cleanup days.
Which you can find in a lot of places these days.
Yes, and you'd be amazed by the difference your contributions can make on that front.
How about any other tips?
Like I said earlier, environmental tips outside of diving are a topic unto themselves. However, I would like to recommend doing some research to see what ideas you can incorporate into your lifestyle. The internet's a good place to start. Or you could keep an eye on Dan as we share ideas and information that we come across. But however you do it, just remember that each small change an individual makes adds up to a big collective impact.
The bottom line is that if we don't take care of the environment in which we dive, we won't have it down the road.
Spoken like a man of the world.
Being an environmentally aware diver, both in and out of the water, protects not only the world we all love to inhabit, but yourself as well. Take these simple steps and surprise yourself at what a difference they make, especially when we take them together. Do that, and you're guaranteed Dan Good Diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
All right, so what is the most important piece of dive gear on the planet?
So it's not a bikini bottom. It's not the second stage. It's not a dive knife to help fight off a mermaid. It's not...
those are all very important
not
items.
Not second stage. Not fins. Let's see. If you're doing rebreather diving, it's not a dive tank.
Well, you have two tanks, actually, on a rebreather sometimes.
All right, so you do have tanks.
Yeah. Smaller tanks. But
Is it a hood?
Is it a hood? Like a hoodie?
Yeah.
No.
No.
I don't think so. Listen,
and
Bob
it's not
Evans.
Money. It's not a from wallet.
Force Fins,
it's not a passport.
Is going to help us out with this. You would think that you would get it with Bob Evans being the
Fin. Ooh, your space
you
capsule
said,
to get back to your home planet.
Bob, is that true? Is it the space capsule?
Yeah. You're calling the Fin factory here in Santa Barbara.
Yes, we are. But
yeah.
But it's not the space capsule that's the most important thing for a diver equipment wise, at least not according to you. You have something else.
No.
You think there's something else that is more important than anything that people don't think about. What is it?
Guess what?
I'm guessing.
You ready?
We've been guessing.
Okay. It's wonderful, and I've got Suzanne on the other line here to follow through with this thought process.
Okay,
the most important piece of a dive equipment is your foot.
Your
and
foot.
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Once you step into the ocean, you should leave your foot behind. It's for walking on land, okay?
Right.
And it doesn't matter what fin design you have. I'm the only fin design on this planet that's different, that does not incorporate your foot in your aquatic adventure. So as long as your foot is in a foot pocket, like all the other fins except for us, you don't have that aquatic experience, and it gets into toe-licking. So I got Suzanne on the line, and she can
hold
go
on,
further.
Hold on. One second. Suzanne, I want you to, very first thing you do, assure me that you are not going to talk about toe-licking.
I will give him a toe-licking.
Oh, dear.
Oh, I love it.
It is true. You can only have your toes licked underwater if the toes are free of the foot pocket of the fin.
Good point. Well, you know what?
Wow.
The foot fetish of our demographic has just went through the roof, and I appreciate you appreciate that.
No, but clearly, what Bob is explaining is when people get in the water, they want to feel their fins moving them through the water. They want to feel the pressure points on their feet.
Right.
But that's because of their adaptation of walking on land. The whole idea of immersing ourselves underwater and the whole freedom of the experience is to release ourselves from the gravity, from those pressure points, and to be free. And by freeing up the foot pocket and not having your foot incorporated in your movement through the water, leaving your foot behind, you are free in the water. And I think that's what he's getting at.
Yeah, it's pretty devastating for all those listeners on the radio, the millions of them out there, to all of a sudden realize there's no way they can have a true aquatic adventure as long as their foot is telling their brain they're walking, just like they're on land. And Daryl Hannah summed it up with Force Fin. She said, they feel like they're an extension of my body, not my foot. So we need to kick this around. We need to really think about this. This is a real...
We need to kick it around. That's
yeah.
The foot thing.
I mean, I'm sure you've all had your toes licked once or twice in your life.
Every other day.
And so that's what you need to do. You need to have your toes licked by the ocean instead of inside some dark, ugly, dungeony foot pocket that gives you cramps and everything else. You know what I'm talking about, Greg?
Yeah, because, you know, they're all cramped in there. You know, fungus could develop. You know,
yeah.
It's closed. It's not airy. Let your toes be free.
It's like a cave. It's like a cave. It's dark in there. Take a look in. You look in a force fin, you look right through it, and you see the ocean.
You know, I never really thought about my force fins having that extra bonus as far as, you know, that I could have my
their
toes licked underwater.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look into that.
Go out to the ocean and look through the foot pocket, and what do you see? The ocean. You're free. Go hold another fin up and look inside. You may as well get out your dive light and go inside and become a cave diver.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, because we're joking around a lot, a little bit here, but, you know, there is some real sense that is connected to all of this in that making the fin part of your body and not making it feel like a fin really is the key to force fins, isn't it?
Yeah, and having it hang off the end of your foot's like having it hang off something else, if you know what I mean. It does not make sense.
Now he's really going to get a licking.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
but
that's
you were telling me
out here on the West Coast.
I love it.
Hey, but you know, and the good news is, you heard that the big news, Four Spans got auctioned off by Dr. Sylvia Earle for $3,750. I think that's the most anybody has ever paid for a pair of fins.
That is awesome. And actually, those were red ruby sparkle
ruby
shorts.
Ruby red, yeah. Sylvia calls them her ruby red slippers.
Ruby
and what
red
was the organization?
Yeah, it was the Ocean Elders with Ted Turner, Sir Richard Branson, Jackson Brown. They all came together over in Aspen 2 weeks ago to form Ocean Elders to get the focus on what's happening in our oceans. And so
nice. Hold on. Well, I got a pair of those. I think I'm going to run an auction.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg, the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Bula, that's the greeting you get from the smiling, generous Fijians who welcome you to Fiji. And while Fiji's friendly people, white sand beaches, rainforest, and waterfalls are a huge draw for any traveler, divers in the know consider Fiji the soft coral capital of the world. With direct regular flights from LAX on Air Pacific, it's never been easier to live your Fiji experience. Go to FijiMe.com to book dive packages from backpacker to five-star spa resorts. That's FijiMe.com.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the Producer. We are not sucking each other's toes. However, Bob Evans and his wife Suzanne may be doing that on the left coast. And God bless them for it.
You are married?
Yep. In 3 minutes, I just got a toe licking.
No,
very nice.
Seriously. Now we can.
That's all it takes. 3 minutes, and you're done. Well,
yeah. Actually, it just took a minute.
But the importance of having your toes licked by the ocean is it extends to your whole body. Because when you have to have your toes all cramped up into a foot pocket, whether it fits or not, you have to hold your toes pointed. And I want everyone out there to point their toes and kick their feet right now.
Okay, I'm
because
going.
When you're pointing your toes and kicking your feet, you're holding your arches contracted. You're holding your calves contracted.
Hmm.
You're holding your whole leg system in a tight
contracted. Does that sound like a hell of a lot of fun? Hey, put these fins on the most important part of dive equipment you've got, which means leave your foot on land. and go out there and kick around with this big long thing hanging off the end of your foot. I mean, it's got to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, add on a spring strap, too. That really adds a lot of fun.
The spring straps have nothing to do with it.
Oh, okay.
Any strap would work or not.
All right. Yeah. Any strap. Okay, sounds like we're having a domestic between the two
yeah.
of you. But regardless.
It's always domestic out here.
But I like it because what you're saying is it just let the piggies be free. And let
yeah.
them enjoy themselves and be natural in a natural position when you're underwater.
Greg, I love it. Let the piggies be free.
It is. I guess.
Free your feet and the mind will follow.
When I'm wearing my Force Fans, I always feel that way. I just,
yeah.
you know, I guess I've never put it into words in that sense, but it is very freeing. I don't like wearing a wetsuit. I like just going in board shorts and a rash
yeah.
guard and my Force
yeah.
Fans. You just feel open and,
exactly.
and let the ocean kiss all over, not just the
yeah,
toes.
Exactly. Feel the whole thing, and you're not going to have that as long as your foot's telling your brain you're walking.
Yeah, and there's no contraction, like you said. If you're not pointing your toes, you're just letting them be relaxed and letting your legs do the work as opposed to your feet or your calves, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I like it. So, and you're
yeah.
also saying that when you're, just to kind of paint this picture, if you're laying in your bed.
Oh, please don't let him paint any more pictures.
Well, you're in
laying
your bed.
In your bed and look
oh,
down
dear.
At your foot. It's aiming straight up at the ceiling like hopefully something else, right? And then imagine putting a fin
to.
Onto that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. Your foot, of course.
Yeah, it's your foot.
Right. You put a fin. Right. It's already angled. Your natural position of your feet is pointing up. They're not pointed straight out like you would.
Like a ballerina.
Foot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, do you see this picture, Bill? Are you getting this?
Yeah, so you're laying flat, you're parallel swimming around the bottom of the ocean, and your foot's hanging down at a 45-degree angle with a big fin hanging off of it with a spring strap, and you're trying to kick and move through the water. That's why everybody frog kicks, I tell you. There's no way you can do a normal flutter kick with those fins on. You have to get into some frog kick or something like that. People don't even move through water anymore. I was watching these divers at Catalina. All they were doing is going up and down like they were in an elevator. They were not doing anything other than going up and down.
Yeah, just wasting too much energy is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's unbelievable. It's really once, and you know, Greg, how many times do people we put on a Force Fin and go, wow, it feels so strange. It feels like the fin came off the end of my foot. And I always tell them, yeah, it did. It came off the end of your foot. Isn't that nice? And you go, yeah, that's kind of nice.
Yeah. I mean, and you can walk around with them easier on the boat.
Hey,
what?
Oh, we came up with a great idea last night before you get us off the radio.
Okay.
We're offering every Scuba Radio listener right now, call us on the office on our 800 line next week. We're going to give you 50% off every single fin we sell except for the SD1 military fin. That's been sold out by the Coast Guard. I can't give a discount on those. Every
wow.
fin I have in my warehouse, just you've got to call up and say, we love Scuba Radio. That's the code word. We love Scuba Radio. And just for this one couple, this next week, just 1 week only, 50% off so people can go out and have the true experience. I really firmly believe to giving that kind of a discount. And listen, if you don't like the fins, you still have your money back guarantee. Return them. I'm more than glad to get them back. I very rarely ever get returns.
Yeah, well, I doubt that very much. Well, that's awesome. It's Labor Day Labor Day week. So you go to, forcefin.com or call them up, 1-800-FIN-SWIM.
Call us on the phone.
No. We can do it online as long as after they place the order, if they put their order number in and send an email that says,
we love Scuba Radio. Yeah, we love Scuba Radio.
Then nice. We will honor the discount online.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. And once again, that'll be Labor Day
and
week.
And that's
only.
Just because of all the support, Greg, and passing the word around the world, like Sylvia Earle and the whole nine yards of Force Fin users. We need to free up everybody. It's about freedom. It's time to get off those Al-Qaeda fins off hanging off the end of your foot and go American freedom.
Well, there you go. Yeah, they're made in the USA. Good old USA. And, you know, I did not know Bob was going to do this on the air today. And Bob and Suzanne, I do thank you. That's a very nice gesture you're making to our listeners today,
yep.
And I appreciate it. I do have one more question. Those Red Ruby fins that Sylvia Earle sold for how much again?
$3,750. She had to call me up to tell me that.
All
she was tickled to death.
All right, I'll sell mine for $2,500, first offer.
Okay, guys. We love Scuba Radio.
We love Scuba Radio.
Yeah, that's nice. There you go. Go to forcefin.com or call them up, 1-800-FIN-SWIM, and take advantage of that deal. And no, my red sparkled force fins are not for sale. They are priceless, I tell you. And I'm keeping them because I like them. I want my piggies free. And that's all I got to say about that.
Can't wait for Dima. I know I'm getting my toes licked.
Hour two is on deck. Stay close.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.